8816, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That'd be ESPN Bet, Johnny. Now live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets with any sports book.
Bet.
We say good morning to in for Shea W. Norling, who has the day off. We've got little Jack in the front seat. Driving the car. Hey, Jack.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Oh, we're going good, man.
That's good to hear.
Jack, how was your weekend, buddy?
My weekend was fantastic. I was here for that Sox game that was delayed 3 hours. So
I was up
in the producer studio waiting it out with Shea Norling because he was filling in on pregame. And so that was my Saturday night. But other than that, it was fantastic.
Did you have lunch? Was there a dinner?
I did, yes. Brendan Riley, our executive producer, bought a pizza for the entire crew.
So. I see. You know what nice. That, no, we call that in the business, Jack?
What do we call it?
Class.
Yes.
Mensch move. Yeah, very nice. Class is a great word for it.
Realizing, because Riley, I'm sure, saw the weather map, too. It's like, okay, let me take care of you guys. 3 hours.
Yeah.
But do you agree with us, right, Jack? I mean, the idea that in 2024 that you're waiting through this. Now, hey, Cap and I, because we only had a few channels, we were waiting for that Cub game. All right, they'll be back. Meanwhile, there's more episodes of The Honeymooners. All
right. Right.
That's fine.
That's what WGN used to do.
But, I mean, 3 hours today? No shot.
I think the issue was they tried to push it so much in that 10th inning because there was only one out left that they just let the field soak, and it downpoured on it, and they couldn't get the field fixed.
It was raining so hard. I'm like,
again.
What are you doing?
Yeah, there was no window to fix the field because fixing the field took 30 minutes itself.
John Rooney was pissed in the St. Louis broadcast booth where a White Sox winner.
He was not happy.
He is sitting there. Cappy, I'm still shitting here at the ballpark. He
God
wasn't
bless.
Happy. All right, Jack.
I'll miss those days.
All right, so we talked about the Cubs starting rotation. The ERA right now for the starters ranks fourth in Major League Baseball. Steele's coming back tonight. With Justin Steele back in the rotation, shot or no shot, the Cubs have the very best starting rotation in Major League Baseball.
Oh, boy. The way they're throwing right now, that's a shot. Now, is that sustainable? Now, if you tell me Cade Horton, who's, as I said, number two ranked pitching prospect in all of baseball and has already vacated his spot on the Tennessee Smokies roster, he's at AAA. If he gets here and he's who they think he is, like a top of the rotation type guy, yeah, that's a shot. That's a shot.
I think it could be. I would say there's no shot now. It starts with the Braves. I thought the Diamondbacks are in there as well. I think Seattle's in there as well. I think that the Cubs can be. As soon as they clear the smoke of all this, like who is going to be the rotation, I think they can be. Because I'm Imanaga in the All-Star game like today.
He's really good. He'll pitch in this series against San Diego. I would have agreed with you on the Braves until Spencer Strider blew out his elbow.
Yeah.
And once they lost him for the year, I can't put the Braves there. If he was there, he was their ace.
Yes.
He's really, really good. So I will say the Cubs have a shot to be there. Absolutely.
You seen the old Sox, Ray Lopez, lately? It's amazing when you have offense. Ronaldo Lopez?
Yeah.
Pretty good kid. He's been around the big leagues now since the White Sox. He's been in a couple spots.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you change uniforms. You get with a winning ball club, all of a sudden
the whole mentality of your going to work changes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else do we have, Jack?
All right. So there was an article in The Athletic this weekend about a potential new television home for the Sox, Hawks, and Bulls. And to clarify, this is not the Network Stadium, which is owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, but instead The Athletic reports that Standard Media Group is in partnership with the teams. Standard Media Group is based in Nashville. Shot or no shot, this should make some Sox fans more concerned about the team leaving for Nashville.
For me, that's a no shot. Hoodie may have an entirely different perspective. I believe there is still a tie between Standard Media Group and Stadium, but Stadium is got a tie to different advertisers, like gambling advertiser, that Standard Media does not. But I do think there will be some type of a mesh point for these two organizations to come together to put together a really good network for the White Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks. It's unfortunate that NBC Sports Chicago couldn't get a deal done because they got some amazing, amazing people that worked there. Amazing. And I thought they did a great job.
First of all, I'm just surprised that Standard Gas, after all these years, have gotten into the media business. I mean, a reliable gas station. You remember that back in the day, Cap. Going to Standard there. Fill them up.
That's BP Amoco now. There's no relation.
They change your oil. I enjoy going to Standard now. Much cheaper gas than you get everywhere else. I mean, listen, nothing against 76 and some of these other places. And
they're gone.
Sinclair.
Those are all gone. It's BP Amoco. There was a merger.
Huh?
Standard Media has nothing to do with the gas company.
I didn't hear you. What do you say? Standard Gas. You remember it, right?
I do.
Blue and red.
Yeah.
You go there, bam, they change your oil.
They're done.
What?
They merged 20 years ago with BP Amoco. They have no relation to Standard Media. None. Just happen to have the same name.
They change your oil. You remember this, right?
That's 25 years ago when they did that.
Hang on a second. You don't know what's going on. Folks, let me tell you about Standard. And they're going to be a partner with us here at ESPN 1000 pretty soon. We're talking about
They're not in business anymore. They're gone.
What do you mean? They've got a media conglomerate now. That's how successful they've been.
Different company. All right,
anyway, don't listen to him. Listen, you talk about a place that would clean your windshield.
Jack, cut this guy off.
Here's a guy here. I mean,
doesn't exist. All that nonsense back in the day. Pull your car in.
Nonsense, don't you call it?
Yeah, then they would wipe your windows down. Can I check the oil? Can I check your tires? No. That's not happening anymore. That's called Jiffy Lube.
Damn.
Don't think you're right about that, but just because you say it loudly doesn't mean it's right.
I'm acting like Yerk.
All I'm telling you is that with this deal with the White Sox, boy, it just shows you, Cap, where the where the media business is going, because this has been a hot rumor for a long time about the White Sox, the Blackhawks,
Bulls.
And the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about them sometimes. Those three teams, right?
A lot of fans did too.
Cap, hey man, I know the business changes a lot. I just wonder about NBC Sports Chicago, a place that you worked for a long time.
I did.
About the people that worked there behind the scenes.
Yeah, I feel badly for those are some of my dearest friends, whether it's front-facing guys like Pat Boyle and Chuck Garfine and Ozzy and others, or all the people behind the scenes who make that place what it is, an awesome place to work. Disappointing.
I guess when it comes to the media business, especially if you're a fan watching and consuming your favorite teams, the one thing that's always consistent is change.
Correct.
I never thought that we'd never seen anything else. You know, we would always see Cubs games on Channel 9. And, of course, that changed. I always thought that the Sox would always be on Comcast, Sportsnet, Sports Vision, Channel 44. And, of course, those things change.
So
as we move forward, it's just change. I just feel badly for the people there because where there's smoke, there's fire. This is the second time we've seen this written in the Sun-Times.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's written for a second time, it seems likely that is going to happen.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise.
And then what happens to the consumer? They have to pay for an extra tier? Is this part of your basic cable? That's all have to be worked out.
Correct.
God.
Yeah, disappointing for all those people at NBC. Now we'll see. I trust that they will put a good product on wherever this thing goes. I'm going to watch the games, but we'll see.
All right, Jack.
There was an article in the Sun-Times this weekend by Daryl Van Scowen that said the White Sox should completely blow it up. That includes Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert, who both have long-term deals still. Shot or no shot, Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert are both traded with multiple years of team control.
Tap out.
Wow. I'm going to say no shot because you don't have Robert back yet. He's got to prove he's healthy. He's 25, mm-hmm. turning 26. Garrett Crochet, why would I? I'm trying to find more Garrett Crochets. So I'm going to say no shot. Neither guy gets moved. Other people, yes.
especially Robert being the cornerstone of the franchise. I mean, he's the guy. If everyone's expendable, Jack, then where are the White Sox going? You have to start someplace. Listen, it's not like we've never seen teams blow up before. We've seen this before. We've seen teams say, okay, we're going to just rip it down to the studs. But even when they do that, there's someone that's still a part of the franchise, a pitcher, a bat, something. But I just don't see, if the White Sox strip it all the way down where they say, yep, Crochet, we can get something for him and get something for Aloy, we'll get something for Andrew Vaughn. If you're going to do that, then where do you start? You must have a starting point.
Does it start with Colson Montgomery all the way down in the minors? Do you go all the way there? Because Robert has 3 more years left on his deal, and then they have to pay him. Will the Sox be willing to pay Luis Robert
when he hits three years? Why am I trading him now?
Is there window in 3 years? In the next 3 years?
It is not. But you have to start someplace, though. To have just absolute just minor league talent across the board or scrap heap guys. What did you tell me earlier, Cap? I mean, people are interested in Tommy Pham?
Correct.
Tommy Pham.
They said, Nightingale said he's your most likely all-star representative because everybody gets one.
How sad is that, though? He just got with the ball club. Paul DeJong, I've never seen an offseason leading into spring training, Jack, in which you're not sure what your rotation was going to be. It was all the way up to the end of the spring training where you had 3 stars you knew of. And like, all right, who else is it? Hey, is Clevinger around? Has anyone picked him up? Put him on the ball club. That's desperation. That's sad. That's sad when you do that. And so, look, I've seen bad teams before, but when you're just trying to cobble together a roster just to be able to have enough, you know, players on your roster to compete, that's not good at all.
Agreed.
And if you're going to strip it down, man, that ain't Chicago White Sox baseball. That's more like some minor league outfit. That's really disappointing.
And you mentioned Sox hold a team option for 26 and 27 mm-hmm. at $20 million. Why would you trade that guy now? There's no reason. No, I would not.
I would not either. I don't know what they're thinking up there.
It's not like he's making $48 million a year here. This year, his salary is 8.3. That's nothing in baseball parlance. Nothing.
Let me just tell you that I know that some people listening right now, they're saying, well, I mean, Ryan Poles stripped this down to almost the studs to be able to build it up to where it is. Let me just tell you something. The general manager in place right now in Chris Getz is not Ryan Poles. He's just not. I don't think that that's what that is. And it's harder in baseball to be able to wheel and deal, to have those kind of moves to make yourself on the precipice of being a contender. He's not that.
But it's also different in baseball. You could, first of all, because of these collective bargaining rules, you're not picking any higher than 10th, even though you had a bad season.
Yeah.
But it takes time for guys to develop. You don't just draft Caleb Williams in Major League Baseball and he's your best player or your star or your face of your team or whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. And if you take a high school kid, he's 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Draft a 17-year-old kid. You just got to keep throwing money at international signings and draft picks and whatever it is. Make some astute trades and hopefully get the thing competent enough that you can get some decent free agents. But upper management has to be willing to spend on it, too. It's only 2 teams that have never spent minimum of $100 million on a particular player. That would be the Oakland A's and the White Sox. That's it.
That's right.
It's got to change.
And somehow, some way, the A's are just a game under 500 coming into this week's games. How?
Yeah, they do a good job in draft and development. They've got a really good closer. They've got some solid pitching. Paul Blackburn, former Cub, who Theo drafted in 2012,
mm-hmm.
is pitching at an all-star level and has been an all-star for them. They've got some decent players there. Their closer, Mason Miller, legit.
And then when they get to the all-star break and they get to the deadline, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Right.
Goodbye, trade them all.
Trade them all. Until they can move to Sacramento for 3 years, then to Vegas. I mean, they're a train wreck, too, as a franchise.
Right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. All right, coming up, we will give you around the NFL. We'll hear from Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and the NFL at 8:35. All part of the mix on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome. Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here? Huh?
It's time to go around the NFL right here on Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you that Courtney Cronin comes your way at 8:35. Around the NFL, here's Jack.
All right, guys. So Odell Beckham Jr. signed with the Dolphins over the weekend. This led to some Miami fans on social media claiming this puts them over the top as the best receiving core in the NFL. My opinion, there's 100 receivers who are just as good as Odell Beckham Jr. at this point. Doesn't put him over the top. I think the Bears have the best receiving core in the NFL. Where do you rank Miami? Where do you rank the Bears in terms of receiving cores?
Whew. I mean, Minnesota's receiving core with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson, if he's healthy, that's a pretty damn good receiving room right there. Miami, very, very good receiving room.
Hill and Waddle and Braxton Berrios.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And now OBJ, that's a really good receiving room as well. The Rams have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. They got a really good receiving room. Mm-hmm. How about the Mariners. Seahawks. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Will Disley. Like, there's some really, really impactful groups out there. So, yeah, Miami can absolutely lay claim. Got to prove it.
Cowboys could be in the conversation.
CeeDee Lamb, Michael. Is Gallup still there? Or did he leave?
No, it's like Cooks, right?
Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, who's old. He's over 30.
Talbert. Jalen Tolbert, also part of that mix.
Yeah, and who's their tight end? Dalton Schultz. Yep. Or he's gone. He went to Houston.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So,
I think the Bears are definitely in that team photo. See how it all works together. So how about San Francisco?
Yeah, with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk mm-hmm. and George Kittle. They got a good room, too.
Bengals.
Eagles. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown. Great call, Jay Moore. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Yeah, they're loaded. So, there's a bunch of teams that have a bunch of good receivers. Bears are in the discussion.
No doubt.
All right. So last night, there was a roast of Tom Brady. He participated in a roast on Netflix. Lots of people there. Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Bill Belichick made an appearance as well. He took a shot with Robert Kraft. But the most jaw-dropping of the moment of the night, the most jaw-dropping moment of the night for me was when Tom Brady said this about Deflategate.
Here tonight, but where's Roger Goodell? Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would just told you I did it.
How about that? There it is.
Is he making a joke or is he admitting there?
He's admitting 100%. 100% he admitted it. And whatever.
I think it's tongue in cheek because it's a roast. So that might have been written for him. That definitely wasn't off the top of his head. So I just think that that could be tongue in cheek. Either way, you know, it's behind him and it's a story that's he's part of. I'm just surprised that he did it. Just looking at some of the highlights of what was said there, it's pretty strong.
Oh, yeah, I think he was absolutely admitting it, 100%, in my opinion.
They held out for so long, and then it jumped to Robert Kraft's face, and he looked amazed that Tom Brady said that. He kind of gave a look like, oh, no, I can't believe he actually said that on television, on national television.
Who was the comedian that gave the joke about Robert Kraft getting a massage, and Tom ran up there and went?
Jeff Ross.
Well, that's Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross.
Who's always good in these roasts.
Said, I'm the best decision your organization has ever made. the massage. I love Robert Kraft. I love his Okay, okay.
Don't say that blank again. Tom ran up there. Then they fired on Kim Kardashian. Oh, my God.
Well, thank you. I know a lot of people make fun of your height. All right. All
whoa,
right.
Whoa, 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 right. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right, Kevin.
Wow. She got booed, but they were making jokes about her. Oh, my God. Some of them we can't play on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
They were graphic.
And she couldn't even get the first joke off before she got booed.
Well, then what Tom said, Kim Kardashian's here today, and she's very nervous because her kids are with their father. It was a shot at Kanye. I mean, it was...
Damn.
It was one after another, man, they were firing. And she just sat there shaking her head. A good sport.
Top five Chicago sports figures in 2024 that deserve a roast. I have two slots open. Number one, Jerry Reinsdorf.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Arturis Karnišovas. Number three, Tom Ricketts. I need four and five.
Are we trying to entertain or they deserve to be roasted?
Anytime you have a roast, they all deserve to be roasted.
Ozzie Guillen would be a phenomenal roast.
Ozzie Guillen is
phenomenal.
Four, and I need a fifth.
Wow.
Reinsdorf right on the top of the list, though.
George McCaskey. That'd be hilarious.
I was going to go Pedro Grifol.
Nobody cared.
Wouldn't be entertaining, but probably due for a roast.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
So there you have it. Top five in the Chicago sports. And by the way, out of these five, did not mention a player.
No. Is there a player that you, now that you're thinking back after we have the list, that you're thinking, is there a player I should have put him on there?
Lonzo Ball, maybe? If anyone deserves one.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. What else we have, Jack?
Let's reset the NFC North. So we've cooled down a little bit from the draft hype. Everybody was really amped up after the Bears selected Caleb and Rome Odunze. So do we still believe the Bears are the team to beat in the NFC North this year? And are they the team to beat in the NFC North over the next 5 years? Because the Lions are still young. The Packers have a young quarterback. And the Vikings are kind of a wild card at this point.
Well, I think the Detroit Lions would like to have a word for your first question. It's the team to beat at this point in time. That's not a lark. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. We talk about all the time how the Bears were able to build their team. Well, what about the Lions? How bad they were to build it up to where they are right now. So I think the Lions, I think to your first question, I think that that's the team to beat. The next 5 years, because the Bears are on the come, I would say that the Bears would be in that conversation the next 5 years, that they could be a perennial playoff team.
They should be. With what they've added, the youth on the team, the salary cap space they still have, if Caleb is the guy, yeah, they should absolutely be a perennial playoff team. 100%.
All right, Jack, anything else?
Yeah, one more for you. So The Athletic listed one undrafted free agent to watch for each team. And for the Bears, it was actually a quarterback, Western Kentucky quarterback Austin Reed. Mm-hmm. The Athletic suggests a potential backup quarterback competition for the Bears, one between Tyson Bagent, Reed, and Brett Rippon. I think Bajan's the obvious answer, but if you can only roster two of them, who are you rostering? Is it Brett Rippon? Is it Reed? Does Bajan get cut? What do you think?
Well, I don't think Brett Rippon has a future here if this kid's any good in camp. Brett Rippon's had his shot. It hasn't really worked, but you need camp arms. But I don't see a scenario where Tyson Bajan isn't the backup unless they go get a veteran guy to come in here. I know Tannehill's still out there.
I know someone that would know who should be the backup outside of Tyson Bagent. I know of a guy that definitely would know.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Who's this?
I think we know who.
That'd be Caleb and Ryan. Look, could they bring in Tannehill? Probably not, because I think he still has some hope of playing wherever he goes. So it's Bagent in the two hole,
And then this kid from Western Kentucky, Brett Rippon, will compete for the three hall. I don't see the kid in Western Kentucky coming in as your backup. I don't.
I watch a lot of college football. Did not watch Western Kentucky.
Me either.
Don't know who Austin Reed is.
May have bet on him, but I don't remember doing that.
Don't know who Austin Reed is, Cap. I mean, I know he's on the Bears. I just didn't see him play.
They said he's kind of like Tyson Bagent. Stronger arm for a small school, threw for a whole bunch of yards, whole bunch of touchdowns, but smaller school, so the stats aren't as meaningful.
So Tyson's quarterback camp was on Saturday. You remember when we had him on?
Mm-hmm.
He was promoting this quarterback camp. So my friend Ryan McGuffey, his son went to it. He said it was awesome. He said Tyson was so good with the kids and putting him through all these different drills that they do with the Bears. And here are these kids going through these drills with an NFL quarterback. He said, hats off to that dude. He is awesome. But good to hear.
Coming up next, Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and the NFL. She will be with us coming up next. Captain Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, national Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
You have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Poles was given the flexibility and the freedom to take this thing down to the ground floor, down to the studs, to be able to build it back up.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n J. Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin with us every Monday here on the Cap'n J. Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 as we talk about the Bears and the NFL, and she is on the hotline.
That'd be the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing awesome, awesome. So there was a lot of football in the news over the weekend, even though there's no games or drafts or signings. Caleb Williams at the Cubs game. Ryan Poles told Waddle Sylvie he's at the F1 race down in Miami. And then we had the Tom Brady roast. So let's start right there. Tom Brady said, they spent $20 million investigating whether I deflated the footballs. Just give me the $20 million. I could have told you. I effing did it. What was your takeaway from the whole Tom Brady thing? Because I thought it was super cool.
I thought it was awesome. I don't know if an athlete's ever going to sign up for a live roast on Netflix ever again. But if we had to go out with a bang and going out with Tom Brady and a lot of really off-color jokes, some that I was, you know, you expect that during a roast, but a 9/11 reference from Tom Brady to Drew Bledsoe, I was a little shocked by that one. The Julian Edelman thing that he said about rings and Aaron Hernandez. There was a lot there. It was definitely, I'm glad that it was a pay-per-view roast, effectively, for those who had Netflix subscriptions, because that did not belong on cable TV, given how raunchy that was. But to the point of what he said about Deflategate, I'm not sure if that was an actual admission or if he was just saying, like, I would have told the league I did it if they gave me $20 million. But maybe the statute of limitations have run out on how mad we can be at Tom Brady over that, considering he did serve a suspension for that a couple years ago. But that was wild. That was absolutely wild when he went up there and said that.
You had a great piece on ESPN.com, Courtney. And the piece, if you haven't been there, ESPN.com, is entitled Bears Quarterback Caleb Williams Looks to Join Top NFL Rookie Group. There's a quote that I want to ask you about, because you talked to Ryan Poles. He says that in terms of the Bears, he says the infrastructure has to be there, and I think that we've done that part to have the talent around our quarterback now. It goes on to say, I also could say that I think we had a really good approach with all of the players, and I think that maybe it was different than it was in the past. That I thought that that rang in my head, saying that, hey, we have a really good approach with all of our players, and I think that that's maybe different than it was in the past. That says a lot for the previous regime versus now, doesn't it, that he has a rapport with his players and he thinks that maybe there was a disconnect in the past. Is that, could that be?
I think that's a fair assessment. When you take a look at how the last quarterback was brought in, and it wasn't an advantageous situation for Justin Fields. He came into a place where he was not supposed to be in the quarterback battle right away, but then was thrust into it during camp and ends up winning the job due to a Dalton injury early on. And I know that that's what Ryan Poles this whole time was trying to prevent against. That's why they traded Justin Fields when they did. And these teams in the past, when you take a look like the past couple of quarterbacks who were brought in here, whether it was Justin, whether it was Mitch Trubisky, and you can go on down the list back into like the early 2000s, these teams were built on defense. That's not to say that there isn't that focus there for the Bears this year and that it won't be the focus. I mean, they gave Jalen Johnson a really significant contract extension. They gave Montez Sweat an extension before he ever played it down. But I've said this for a while. The day that Khalil Mack was traded, in my mind, signified the shift. Like, right away, the Bears knew that everything needed to skew towards the offense. And what you've heard from Poles in the aftermath of the Fields trade and of the draft is that, you know, they were probably leaning this direction of going new quarterback in 2024 for a while. And they just had to obviously do their homework to solidify that that was the right choice. But I think for him, going all the way back 2 years ago, knowing that if I'm going to put a quarterback in the right position for success, it's all got to shift that way. The resources need to be allocated to the offensive side of the ball. And that, to me, was the moment where that started. And the draft classes that they built up over those first 2 years to get players in who can be impact players right away, that's part of that infrastructure. But think about how much money they've spent and how much precious draft capital they've spent on and game-changing offensive players, whether it's on an offensive lineman like Darnell Wright, whether it's making DJ Moore a part of that trade package for the number one pick last year, and Rome Odunze this year, spending a fourth to send, to get Keenan Allen here. Like, they've really done that in ways that I don't know if previous Bears regime had as much prioritized what exactly you're putting directly around the quarterback to make sure that he can succeed. And it's not just that the defense is going to carry this team, that the defense is going to be the strength. It can be a strength, but it doesn't need to be the focal point when you're investing that much in a rookie quarterback.
So there's Caleb at the Cubs game, and there was Caleb at Target the other day, and people were taking pictures. He's carrying his packages because he's getting his place set up. And I was talking to someone last night, and they said, you guys all thought he was only here Tuesday, Wednesday for his 30 visit. He was here for like a week. People didn't even see him around town. But he's getting comfortable with what the Bears are doing offensively, getting comfortable with our city. What type of an impact do you think he's making in the building and with his teammates? Because all I heard was, oh my God, they're going to just have a mutiny if they get rid of Fields.
So we know the things that he's done. I mean, we've talked about the fact that he's been built for this, started planning more or less, from 10 years old, that he wants to be an NFL quarterback. And it's not to say that others haven't, but the steps he's taken, you can connect the dots along the way. And it doesn't surprise me that somebody who wants to, plans to be here for a very long time, wants to make sure that he's comfortable in this city, because rookie minicamp starts on Friday. And the guys that come in, most of them don't already have their place. They're staying in hotels. And that's, I don't know. I thought about that too, Cap, when I saw the photo of him at Target getting his place set up. Like, get all of the ancillary stuff done first, so when you're in the building officially, as this is my first day on a field with other Bears players, some is going to make the team, some who are not, that all the other stuff is taken care of. And that's a smart approach, and he's had the time to do it. And when it comes to the Cubs game, he's the only rookie that was there. There are other rookies that are, clearly going to make their way here, other draft picks, guys who are getting here for rookie minicamp. But that's important team building and team bonding. And an experience for him to be around Braxton Jones, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, the host of other Bears players that were sitting in that suite on Saturday when they beat the Brewers. And I don't know, anybody who says he's, you're worried about how he's going to react to, the media in Chicago or anything else. I mean, look how comfortable he is in his own skin. He's doing the bear claw when the camera takes a shot of the suite that they're all in, and he seems like he's having a pretty good time with the people that he's surrounding himself with right now. And, he started doing this weeks ago when he did the pre-draft workout with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and with Rome Odunze. It's clear that he has a strategy for getting to know his teammates that requires time around them, in this being the time that most guys are like saying goodbye and packing up their old lives to get onto rookie camp, like he's already expedited that process.
More with Corny Cronin right around the corner in a half hour. We'll talk to Jesse Rogers about the Cubs and Sox and everything MLB. All part of the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Truth of the matter is, you're listening to Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Weekdays, 7 to 10 a.m. But it'll last a lifetime. It may only be 3 hours a day, but it'll last you a lifetime.
Courtney Cronin is with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, again, if you're just joining us, Courtney's got a great piece out right now on ESPN.com. Bears quarterback Caleb Williams looks to join top NFL rookie group. So just looking and reading through the column, Courtney, I mean, C.J. Stroud is really the litmus test, right? That's for Caleb Williams to reach, where C.J. Stroud and the Texans did. But is there a close second as far as, you know, quarterbacks that you wrote about? Dak Prescott, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Flacco, Matt Ryan, Kyle Orton. Is there a close second that Caleb Williams could reach?
That's a good question. I would probably have to say, I mean, Russ makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Granted, that draft class that they had in 2012, that was otherworldly. They had, you know, three players from there. I mean, Bobby Wagner was in that class. Russ was in that class. They had a really, really good group around him, and they can hope that this class, I mean, the numbers don't pan out the same because it was a bigger class for Seattle, but to see how quickly he was able to get to double-digit wins. And the thing about CJ, technically CJ, I wanted to include him in that, but he's technically not credited with double-digit wins in the regular season because I believe it was week 15 and 16 or 14 and 15. He had an injury and he was inactive. But, you know, put all that together, it was a 10-win season because of what he, you know, his contributions as a quarterback and what he was able to get the team in position to do in the postseason. But I really feel like Houston has to be a very close comparison because they overhauled the offensive staff the way that the Bears just did this offseason. And granted, they have the Bears have Matt Eberflus staying for Caleb Williams' rookie year. D'Amico Ryans came in with C.J. Stroud. But the level of talent that they had on that roster, I mean, Laremy Tunsil was their best offensive lineman, and he was, I believe, a Pro Bowl selection that year. The Bears didn't have that. So all of these other situations, I mean, the situation Russ walked into in 2012, he had a great group of offensive linemen. Dak walked into a group that had three Pro Bowl offensive linemen. And I'm not saying that that's what necessitates, you know, guys getting on this list in the first place. I do believe that Caleb Williams and some of the things that may have looked like issues with the offensive line will be mitigated because of the play that you're getting at quarterback and just simply like what he does when he's back there that's different than what Justin Fields did behind that offensive line. But you know, C.J. Stroud has set a new bar and coming up as a high draft pick as well, but coming to a team that really didn't have the name brand star power that the Bears have on offense. That, you know, he made a lot out of nothing last year early on and was able to get these guys like Damian Pierce, like Nico Collins, Tank Dell to a spot where they were really important weapons and putting up big numbers.
Think about this, Cap. You're Caleb Williams, and you walk into Chicago, kind of like what Dak did in Dallas, as Courtney wrote, and you're 13-3. So the equivalent of that night, 13-4 as a rookie. That's pretty good because Roethlisberger also had 13 wins in 2004. Imagine coming into town and immediately, bam, 13 wins on the board.
It would be unbelievable. Now we go back to Mitch was a rookie, played, I think, in week 5 on Monday Night Football. The next year, they had that pop-up, as Silby calls it, 12-4, lost on the double doink, and the rest is history. It never worked out. The article was outstanding, but the article that I found even more compelling, Courtney, tell your bosses, it's really good, you deserve a raise. The article where you talk about Caleb Williams showing up as a freshman at Oklahoma, he A, breaks the quarterback coach's wedding ring, but he shows up at 5:30 in the morning, I want to lift with the 6 a.m. group. No, that's the veteran player, Spencer Rattler, and that's not how it works around here. He finds his way into the building and starts lifting with that group anyway.
Like, they said the fire is legit.
And when we talked to Lincoln Riley the day that Caleb did his press conference at Halas, there was a question that was asked about how do you chain or rein in some of that competitive fire for a young quarterback? What were examples of that? And, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, because I had done the reporting about that the 6 a.m. club, more or less, mm-hmm. and the relationship between Caleb Williams and Spencer Rattler always fascinated me, because Spencer was supposed to be the next Jalen Hurts, the next Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, the next in line of really good quarterbacks that Lincoln Riley had at Oklahoma. And then all of a sudden, Caleb comes, he commits, and pretty quickly, his freshman season, it wasn't until that Texas-Oklahoma game, but he was starting to put the pieces in place and think about, all right, what do I need to do to supplant this guy as a starter? And, you know, depending upon who you talk to, you know, getting stories about how that relationship went down, what it was like in the locker room, I'm sure that wasn't a comfortable situation for everybody, because Spencer was the guy.
Yep.
And was, you know, a highly touted, I believe, 4- or 5-star quarterback. And here comes Caleb trying to figure out, all right, how do I do this in a way that isn't going to detract from the team, isn't going to, you know, cause a, you know, friction in the locker room, but do it in a way where I can test myself out against the best, because I want to put myself in position to start and start right now. Like, it was a clear goal that he had, and it tells you a lot about how calculated his moves have been to get what he wants out of his football career, and that being one of them, because they wanted him to, you know, take on the freshman, like lead the freshman. You're the freshman quarterback right now. You know, your responsibility is getting those guys ready to play, and he saw something bigger for himself, which I thought was a pretty unique story about how this all came to be, because that's been who he's been throughout his throughout his high school football career, throughout his college career, and to the point now when he comes in saying, no, I don't expect to fail, like, why would I duck expectations? You can start to see where all of that started to form with little stories like that really tell you about how he's approached his entire football journey.
Courtney, before we let you go, Jack, ask that question that you asked us before about the wide receiver corps in the NFL.
Yeah, so Courtney, a lot of Miami fans, after they signed OBJ, were saying that the Dolphins now have the best receiving core in the NFL. I don't agree with that. Do the Bears have the best receiving core in the NFL right now?
It's top three for sure. I think you can put Miami up there. You can certainly put Cincinnati in that group. Hell, maybe you could even put Houston, but I would venture to put the Chicago Bears top three before I'm adding anybody else above them.
And above the Vikings, huh? And above Seattle.
Yeah, I firmly believe that, because of the experience you have and what those roles are going to be for DJ Moore, for Roma Dunze, and for Keenan Allen. And no quarterback has ever come in, drafted top five overall, to a team where two receivers the previous season, NFL receivers, had 1,200 yards receiving, and I believe at least 8 touchdowns. Like, both Keenan Allen and DJ Moore fall into that category. It's why it's unprecedented. And what Roma Dunze brings, I think it's over 4,600 yards total of straight-up receiving yards that these three generated from the college level with Rome and to the NFL with the other two. That should put them in an immediate top three category. And to the point of Miami, I don't know how much Odell Beckham Jr. is going to change that receiving core. Like, Waddle and Tyreek Hill are great. They're really fast. They're probably the fastest receivers in the NFL, and that's fine, but I don't really know how much of a true upgrade that unit gets with Odell Beckham at this stage of his career. It's great for him. It's a, you know, $3 million deal. He's going to keep signing these one-year deals for the rest of his career, but how much of a true impact did he make in Baltimore? Like, I'm not going to say like a minuscule one. It was a good impact, but it wasn't like he put them over the top the way that I think Keenan Allen could in this offense with the other two as well.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
It is Courtney Cronin with us. Read her pieces on ESPN.com, and she joins us on the hotline.
CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Cap and I settle a Twitter beef regarding Michael Jordan.
Yes.
That comes up. We're going to settle this once and for all, you and I.
Oh, my God.
We both happen to see it at the same time. We'll tell you about it. That's in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.